Have you ever considered the true magnitude of the universe's creation? In today's episode, Stephen Davey takes you through the first 5 days of history as described in Genesis. Picture yourself standing in awe as God speaks light into existence and forms land, sky, and seas. What does it mean that the universe was created in 6 literal days? How does understanding God as the Creator shape your view of Him today? Find out right now.
President Teddy Roosevelt was a big man, both in stature and personality. He would often surprise guests who came to the White House by inviting them out onto the White House lawn after dark and just to gaze up at the stars. Sometimes he would even lie down on the grass and invite them to do the same, so they could all take in the grandeur of the night sky above them. Well, after a while, Roosevelt would stand up and brush himself off and say to his guests, "Well, I believe we're small enough now. Let's retire for the evening." Well, let me tell you, when you consider the vastness of creation, when you gaze up at that starry sky or maybe look at photographs taken from outer space, our Creator God becomes very big. And we human beings become very small. That sense of awe and reverence is the best way to approach Genesis chapter 1. Now, as we set sail today, we're going to follow the first 5 days of creation, the first 5 days of recorded history. Now, before we dive into the details, I want to make a point about Hebrew grammar. Now, I know that doesn't sound very exciting, but it's critical to understand what happened. When you look at the grammar and structure of this chapter, what you find is a series of sequential events, one event following another. Let me illustrate it this way. Maybe you learned that little children's poem when you were small about Jack and Jill. Jack and Jill went up the hill to fetch a pail of water. Jack fell down and broke his crown, and Jill came tumbling after. Well, that classic poem describes consecutive events. Jack and Jill go up the hill, then Jack falls down, and then Jill tumbles down after him. Now, you would never imagine the poet intending us to believe that Jack fell down, and then a week later, or 100 years later, Jill came tumbling down the hill. No, the poet's giving us a clear, sequential order to these events, one after the other. Now, likewise, the Hebrew language presents the creation account here in Genesis chapter 1 as a series of sequential events. We repeatedly see the phrase, "and God said," in verse 3, verse 6, verse 9, and so on. That little word, "and," is called a consecutive conjunction. It's understood to mean "and then." So this passage is clearly describing a sequence of events. One event followed immediately by the next event. In other words, the poet, in this case, the divine poet, God, never intended us to believe that millions of years passed in between these events. Now, there are people who would suggest that the days of creation are metaphors for long periods of time, perhaps millions of years represented in the word day. Well, it's as if God knew somebody would come up with that idea, so he further describes each day here with this specific pattern. Here in verse 5, we read, "There was evening, and there was morning the first day." Verse 8 says, "There was evening, and there was morning the second day," and so on. This expression is clearly indicating a literal 24-hour cycle. Let me make one more note here. Whenever a numeral is attached to a day, the word day, such as you read here as the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, and so on, in the Hebrew language, that's even stronger language to emphasize that these were literal days. In fact, beloved, in the Hebrew Bible, whenever the word day is attached to a numerical adjective, it always refers to a 24-hour period. All that to say, God couldn't have made it any clearer. When you read this account and you take what God says at face value, the conclusion you come to is that God created the universe in 6 literal days. That's one staggering miracle upon another, right? Well, let me tell you, beloved, the miracle isn't that God created everything in 6 days. The miracle is that he patiently took 6 days to do it. He could have done it all in one moment. Well, now we have day 1 here, which is light and darkness. Back in verse 3, we're told, "And God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night." Now, this light here is not from the sun. The sun won't be created until the 4th day. This light is literally the manifestation of God's glory illuminating the universe. And it's as if God the Son said, let it happen. Let the glory of God be seen. And this marks the beginning of his creative handiwork. Well, day 2 here. On the 2nd day, God created the sky by separating the waters above from the waters below, verses 6 through 8. The sky here is called the expanse. It served as a division between the waters. It creates what we call the atmosphere that we now live in. This separation laid the groundwork for life that's soon going to inhabit the earth. Well, now we have the 3rd day here in verse 9 through verse 13. God creates the dry land. He gathers the waters into seas. God calls the dry land earth, and the gathered waters he calls seas. But God doesn't stop with that. He also caused vegetation to sprout from the earth, plants yielding seeds, and trees already bearing fruit. And don't miss that perfect timing, beloved. This is crucial, this day in creation. And it was crucial because the vegetation, the land, the grasses, well, that's going to provide all the necessary resources for the life forms, the animals that God is going to create in the coming days. Now the earth is a place that's teeming with resources, and it's ready to sustain life. Well, now on the 4th day, we're told here in chapter 1, God created the sun, moon, and stars to govern the day and the night, to mark seasons, to mark days, to mark months and years, and to give light to the earth. The creation of these celestial bodies was vital now for the rhythms of life that are going to follow. The sun is going to provide warmth and energy. The moon will influence the tides. The stars will serve as markers in the night sky. It's important to note, beloved, that while the light created on the 1st day was a revelation of God's brilliant glory, the lights created here on the 4th day were physical objects, and they're going to govern the cycle of day and night, morning and evening. Well, now we arrive at the 5th day, verses 20 through 23. It's a busy day. God fills the waters with living creatures. He fills the skies with birds. The seas, which had been created on the 3rd day, are now ready, and now they're filled. They're teeming with life. I have read that we have discovered less than 10% of the animals that live in the ocean. We still can't imagine what God created on this day. God blessed these creatures. In fact, here in verse 22, he commands them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters in the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. By the way, this is the very first blessing recorded in the Bible, and it sets the stage for the abundance of life that is going to fill the earth. Now, I'm going to have to pause here at the end of day 5 because my entire next lesson is devoted to the creation of Adam and Eve on the 6th day. But let me just say this as we reach this point. Genesis chapter 1 is revealing to us an amazing creator. This chapter makes God really big, and it makes you and me very small. But let me tell you, that's not a bad thing at all. In fact, a big creator God, well, that's the kind of God we need. The kind of God who can be the source of our strength, who can give us purpose and meaning for our lives today. I remember reading about a crew of astronauts who paid tribute to God one evening. It was Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1968. And this is when the crew of Apollo 8 made history by becoming the first humans to orbit the moon. Well, during that historic orbit, Bill Anders, Jim Lovell, and Frank Borman delivered a live television broadcast back to Earth. In their address, they read Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. That message, if you can imagine, it was heard by roughly 1 billion people across 64 countries. Well, you and I will never, I wouldn't imagine, we'll likely ever experience a trip around the moon, at least not until the rapture takes place. But wherever you are today, let me encourage you to trust your great God. Give glory to your big God, your powerful and magnificent creator. And even though you might be feeling rather small today, that's not a bad thing. Just remember, this great God created you, and he cares deeply for you. Well, until next time, beloved, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.
The first 5 days of creation reveal God's unmatched power. He made everything perfectly, from light to sky to seas. And that Creator is still caring for you today. Trust Him, because He's big enough to handle it all. That was Stephen Davey, and this is The Wisdom Journey. Today's lesson is called The First 5 Days of History. Take a few moments and sign up for Friends of Wisdom today. It's free, and you'll receive weekly emails from Stephen filled with encouragement, Bible insights, and answers to questions people like you are asking. You'll also receive a free resource every month to help you grow in your faith. Signing up is simple. Just visit wisdomonline.org/friends. Fill out the short form, and you're done. As a bonus, you'll get 2 free gifts as soon as you enroll. That's wisdomonline.org/friends. Thanks for joining us today. Join us next time as we continue traveling through God's Word on the Wisdom Journey.